Welcome to the deep dive. We are really glad you're joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
You know, it's funny how often we sit around romanticizing the idea of the big break in our careers.
Oh, absolutely. The Grand Aloof.
Right. Like, if you're in the commercial creative space, you probably picture the phone ringing. And on the other end is this massive, life-changing agency contract.
Mm-hmm.
Something that validates all those years of grinding and building your portfolio. But the reality is, often very different.
Very different.
The reality is that when a real, tangible, smaller opportunity actually knocks a lot of us absolutely freeze up.
We completely panic.
Yeah. We just don't know how to handle the very thing we've been asking for.
It is a very common psychological phenomenon, especially for independent professionals. We prepare for the mountaintop,
mm-hmm.
you know, polishing our websites, tweaking our gear.
Obsessing over the gear.
Exactly. But then we trip over the very first step out of our front door. The transition from theory to practice is incredibly jarring.
And that is exactly our mission for this deep dive.
Yeah.
Today, we're looking at a highly practical guide by author Don Giannotti. Specifically, we're unpacking module 5 of his assignment series.
It's such a good module.
It really is. Our goal today is to walk you through Giannotti's exact framework for taking casual client interest and turning it into a booked, completed, and ultimately recurring small commercial assignment.
Yeah.
We have his notes, his scripts, and his overarching philosophy right here.
And I think it's vital to establish Giannotti's foundational premise right from the start, because it really reframes the entire approach to commercial work.
Mm-hmm.
He explicitly states that the goal of your first assignment is not a huge job.
Right.
The goal is momentum. It's about getting the wheels turning, putting a contract into practice, and proving your reliability. It's not about winning an industry award on day one.
Okay, let's unpack this, because Giannotti talks a lot about this concept of the freeze, and it is, I mean, it's incredibly relatable. I think we have all been there.
Well, for sure.
You put your work out into the world, you finally get a bite, and suddenly your brain just short circuits.
Yeah.
Can you explain what he means by this and why it happens just as things are starting to go right?
Yeah, so Giannotti sets up this scenario where you've done the base work, you've networked, you have a solid portfolio, and then the exciting thing happens. A local business owner actually replies to you.
They bite.
Right, they bite. They ask a question. They show genuine interest and wonder what working with you might look like.
Yeah.
And this is precisely the moment the freeze happens.
Mm-hmm.
You suddenly realize that this isn't a hypothetical portfolio building exercise anymore. There is real money and a real business relying on you.
I can relate to this on a painful level.
I think we all can.
I remember my first real inquiry years ago. A local bakery wanted some photos for their new website. And instead of just talking to them, I literally spent 3 days researching how much to charge for commercial licensing rights in perpetuity.
For a cupcake.
For a cupcake, exactly. I overthought the gear I would need, the lighting setup, everything. And by the time I actually replied to them with this massive, complicated proposal, they had already hired someone else who just came in and shot it.
Wow, yeah.
I totally froze.
That is the perfect illustration of what Giannotti is warning against. We immediately start worrying about complex pricing models. We worry about saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
We project our own insecurities onto the client, assuming they expect a massive production, when in reality, we are just the ones who aren't feeling ready.
Hmm.
We overcomplicate the scenario just to delay taking action.
Giannotti provides a very necessary reality check here. He writes, small commercial assignments are not complicated productions. They are simply clear problems that need clear photographs.
I love that quote.
Me too. I think it's a very grounding way to view the work. It strips away the anxiety of a performance and reduces the entire interaction to simple problem solving.
It does. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, jumping straight into a massive agency production without the foundational experience of managing these smaller localized jobs is actually a recipe for disaster.
Oh, 100%.
Giannotti lists out specific examples of what a first job actually looks like, and they are beautifully grounded in everyday reality.
Yeah, he notes that your first assignment is probably going to look like a local restaurant that needs 5 new images because they're updating their menu.
Right.
Or maybe a small manufacturer needing fresh product photos, a local shop that needs a batch of new images to keep their social media active, or a business owner who needs some environmental portraits, you know, capturing the chef, actually tossing the dough in the kitchen.
Or the maker in their workshop.
Exactly, rather than just a static headshot against a seamless paper backdrop.
What's important to note about all of those examples is Giannotti's next point. These jobs are not glamorous, but they are real commercial works.
Mm.
They are real problems you're solving for real businesses.
Mm.
And most importantly, they are the exact types of jobs that generate future opportunities.
Right.
Starting small isn't a failure to launch. It's a strategic necessity for building the operational muscles you need for a long-term career.
That makes total sense. It definitely takes the pressure off feeling like you need a grip truck and a styling team for your first gig.
Totally.
But of course, to get those small jobs, you have to actually realize when someone is trying to hire you. Jannati points out that we often misread casual inquiries. We treat them as small talk rather than buying signals.
It happens constantly in the freelance world. A client will ask a passing question, and the creative treats it like purely hypothetical curiosity.
Right.
They give a vague answer, and the conversation just dies. They don't realize it was an open invitation to do business.
Jannati flags four specific buying signals that sound incredibly casual but are actually major indicators of intent. The first one is, what would something like that cost? The second is, how long does a shoot take? The third is, could you photograph our new products? And the fourth is, do you have availability next week?
When you hear those questions, you have to recognize that the client is already mentally placing you in the role. They're trying to figure out the logistical reality of working with you.
Right.
And this is where Jannati suggests a critical mental pivot. When faced with these questions, the natural fear-based response, the freeze, makes you want to buy time. You say something like, let me think about it and get back to you with a proposal.
Which totally deflates the momentum of the conversation.
Precisely. You're pumping the brakes when the client is trying to hit the gas. Jannati says you must replace that hesitation with a much more active, confident phrase. He suggests saying, great, let's figure out what you need.
I love that phrase.
It's so powerful. He argues that this one small shift in your language changes the entire dynamic. You transition from a passive vendor hoping to be selected to an active consultant helping them solve a problem.
I see the logic there, but let's push on that for a second. Saying, great, let's figure out what you need, right after someone just asks casually about your availability, doesn't that risk sounding a bit forward?
Interesting point.
Especially to a creative who might be used to taking a more deferential approach with clients.
It might feel forward internally to the creative, but from the client's perspective, it is a massive relief.
Really?
Yes. Think about the psychology of the local business owner. They don't want to manage a photographer. They want the photographer to manage the visual problem.
Oh, that's a great distinction.
By taking the lead with, let's figure out what you need, you are signaling competence. You're removing the cognitive burden from the client. You're essentially saying, I do this all the time. I have a process. Let me guide you through it.
That reframing helps a lot. It's about taking the driver's seat to make the ride smoother for the client.
Exactly.
And once you're in that seat, Jannati says you need to start shaping the assignment immediately. He explicitly warns that confusion is what kills small jobs.
It is the number one killer.
To prevent that, he provides four vital questions that every single project needs to answer right out of the gate.
And these are essential for setting boundaries and establishing clear expectations.
Okay, lay them out for us.
The first question is, what are we photographing?
Mm.
And you need to push for specificity here. Giannotti's example isn't a vague, we need some food shots. It's, we need 5 pizza images tailored for a magazine ad and social media.
Specificity really is everything.
It is.
The second question is, where will the shoot happen? Are we doing this at the client's restaurant during business hours? Are you shooting it in your home studio? Or is it a tabletop setup in a spare room? The physical logistics dictate so much of the time and effort involved.
Definitely. And the third question defines the actual product exchanging hands. What will be delivered? Jannati gives the example of stating 5 edited images, the high-resolution files for print, and the web-ready versions.
Right.
This is how you proactively manage client expectations.
And it's exactly how you protect yourself from scope creep. We all know that moment at the end of a job where the client says, oh, can you also just throw in all the unedited raw files and maybe do a few quick headshots of the staff while you're packing up your gear?
The worst.
If you haven't defined the deliverables clearly beforehand, it's very hard to say no without seeming difficult.
That is a very real hazard. And the final question to shape the job is simply, when are the images needed? Deadlines keep everyone honest.
Always.
Jannati is adamant that clear expectations prevent confusion. If everyone agrees on the what, where, what is delivered, and when, the operational side of the job usually runs very smoothly.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because once you've shaped the assignment and defined the scope, you inevitably hit the next major hurdle where people freeze.
The money.
The money. Giannotti's advice on pricing for these small initial commercial jobs is aggressively simple. He says you should not be building complicated estimates. You're not itemizing your gear, calculating hourly rates, or building complex matrices for licensing usage rights.
No matrices.
Right. You are simply selling finished images.
This goes back to reducing cognitive friction for the client. Clients understand images. They do not understand the esoteric pricing models of the commercial photography industry.
Yeah.
If you hand that local bakery owner a 3-page spreadsheet detailing a day rate, an assistance rate, digital capture fees, and a confusing breakdown of local versus national print licensing, their eyes will glaze over.
Completely.
They just want to know how much it costs to get high-quality pictures of their products onto their marketing channels.
Giannotti suggests a straightforward tiered structure. Now, these are just his baseline examples to illustrate the concept. But he suggests offering something like 3 images for $450, 5 images for $750, or 8 images for $1,100. It's clean and confident. Here's what you get, and here's what it costs.
There is a strong element of choice architecture at play there, too.
Yeah.
By offering 3 simple tiered options, you aren't asking the client, do you want to hire me or not?
Right, you're changing the question.
Exactly. You're asking which of these 3 options best fits your current need. It changes the psychological framing of the purchase.
It's a solid strategy. But of course, no matter how simple or fair your pricing structure is, you are eventually going to face pushback.
Inevitably.
You will eventually hear the dreaded sentence, "We really like your work, but we just don't have the budget right now."
Mm.
It is the moment every freelancer dreads. What's Giannotti's play here?
What's fascinating here is Giannotti's absolute refusal to compromise on value. He outlines a hardline rule for this exact scenario. First, you do not apologize for your rate. Second, you do not lower your rate.
Okay.
Instead, you adjust the scope of the project.
I want to read the exact script Giannotti provides for this moment because it is a very elegant way to handle the rejection. The client says the number is too high, and you reply, "Totally understand. We could start smaller, perhaps 2 or 3 images, and still create something strong for your marketing."
Notice the mechanics of that response. By offering fewer images, the overall cost of the project comes down to meet their budget constraint. The project became smaller, but your value, your per image rate, did not change.
That's huge.
You didn't signal to the client that your original price was inflated or that you were desperate for the work. You maintained your professional worth while still offering a viable solution to their problem.
Because if you lower your rate the second a client pushes back, you're implicitly telling them, my work wasn't actually worth that much to begin with. I was just seeing if you'd pay it.
Exactly.
But if you adjust the scope, you preserve your authority. But let me play devil's advocate here for a minute. Adjusting the scope sounds great when the project is modular, like delivering 5 photos instead of 8. But what if the client's problem isn't modular?
What do you mean?
Well, what if they literally need 10 photos because they're filling a specific 10-block grid layout on their website, and they only have $500?
Yeah.
You can't just give them 3 photos if it leaves their website broken.
That is a highly realistic scenario, and it requires a more nuanced approach to redefining the scope. If the client absolutely needs a quantity of 10, but lacks the budget for 10 fully produced, custom-styled images, you don't drop your rate.
Right.
Instead, you redefine the complexity of the problem. You might say, for that budget, I can't do 10 custom-lit, highly styled hero shots. However, I can provide 2 fully styled hero shots for the top of the page and 8 simpler natural light flat lays to fill out the rest of the grid.
Oh, that's smart.
You're still adjusting the scope, in this case, the scope of the production effort and time required, without devaluing your premium work.
That is a great distinction. You're changing the parameters of the execution to match the budget rather than just working for less money.
Precisely.
And speaking of execution, Giannotti's module doesn't just leave you at the negotiation table. He walks through how to run the actual shoot because, again, the primary goal here is momentum. And a messy, disorganized shoot will halt that momentum instantly.
It'll ruin the relationship right out of the gate. He provides a rapid-fire checklist that breaks down into 3 phases. Before, during, and after the shoot. And while it might seem basic, skipping these steps is where most early career creatives stumble.
Let's run through it. Before the shoot even begins, Giannotti says you need to confirm 4 things in writing. Confirm the shot list, confirm the schedule, confirm the deliverables, and confirm the price.
The operative phrase there is in writing. This ensures there are 0 surprises on the day of the shoot, everyone is operating from the same playbook.
Then, during the shoot, stay organized. He advises showing the client previews when possible so they feel involved and confident in the direction. And he adds a great tactical tip. Shoot a few extra variations. Give yourself a little buffer of creative options.
Showing previews is crucial for small commercial jobs. It builds collaboration. The client isn't left wondering if you captured what they need. They can see it happening. And shooting extra variations shows you're proactive, which builds trust. But the post-shoot phase is where Giannotti argues that trust is truly solidified into a long-term relationship.
He says you need to edit quickly, aim to deliver the finished work within 2 to 5 days, and send the invoice promptly. I think we need to linger on that turnaround time for a second. Why is 2 to 5 days the magic window?
It comes down to client psychology and managing their excitement. When a local business commissions a shoot, they're usually excited to use those images immediately for a campaign or a social media push.
Right, they want to post it today.
Exactly. If you deliver in 2 days, you capitalize on that excitement. If you drag your feet, say you have a perfectionist streak and you spend 3 weeks tweaking the color grading on 5 photos of a pizza, the client's excitement fades into frustration.
Yeah, the momentum is gone.
They might accept the photos, but they will remember the fiction of waiting. Speed, when paired with professionalism, is a massive competitive advantage.
It's the difference between a client thinking, that was easy and effective, versus that was exhausting. And you want them thinking it was easy because, as Giannotti reveals at the very end of this module, the first job is actually not the real win.
This raises an important question. If the first job isn't the win, what is the actual goal of this entire framework?
So what does this all mean for the freelancer's business model?
The real win is what comes next. Giannotti is emphatic that commercial photography, and really the creative freelance business as a whole, is built on repeat clients.
Yes.
You do not build a sustainable, low-stress career by constantly hunting for new first-time clients. Client acquisition is expensive and time-consuming. You build a stable business by turning one small assignment into 5 and turning those 5 assignments into a long-term recurring relationship.
Which means your job isn't done just because you sent the invoice in the gallery link. You have to close the loop and actively plant the seeds for the next gig. Giannotti provides some very specific post-delivery follow-up questions to help secure that repeat business.
What does he suggest?
Instead of just saying, thanks for the work, bye, you ask strategic questions like, do you update your menu seasonally? Or do you launch new products throughout the year? Or my personal favorite, would it help to refresh these images every few months to keep your social feeds looking current?
Those questions are highly effective
mm-hmm.
because they frame your future services not as you begging for more work, but as a strategic asset for the client's ongoing business needs.
Exactly.
You're signaling that you understand their operational cycle. Mm-hmm. You're making the transition from being a one-off vendor they hired for a task to being a long-term partner invested in their visual marketing strategy.
It changes the entire relationship dynamic. So let's summarize this journey Giannotti has taken us on today. We started with the very real, very paralyzing feeling of the freeze, that moment of panic when a client actually shows interest and you suddenly feel like an imposter.
Mm-hmm.
But we learned to overcome that by grounding ourselves in the reality that these small commercial jobs aren't Hollywood productions. There are simply clear problems needing clear photographs. We discussed how to spot those subtle buying signals that we often brush off as small talk, and how to take control of the conversation with a confident, great, let's figure out what you need. We learned to ruthlessly eliminate confusion by defining the scope, the what, where, deliverables, and timeline.
And crucially, we unpacked the psychology of simple pricing. Selling finished images rather than complex hourly breakdowns to reduce the client's cognitive load.
Definitely.
We established the golden rule for handling budget pushback. Adjust the scope, whether that means fewer images or a simpler production style, but never discount your core value. And finally, we discussed why execution speed and strategic follow-up questions are the real engines that turn a single small job into a sustainable stream of repeat business.
It really is a comprehensive, battle-tested blueprint for the commercial creative. But before we wrap up, you know, this applies way beyond just photography.
Oh, absolutely. By broadening the lens, even if you aren't a photographer, Giannotti's philosophy is a masterclass in professional communication.
Yeah.
Whether you are an independent consultant, a graphic designer, or just pitching a project internally at your company, clearly defining the problem and adjusting scope rather than value is universally powerful.
It's just good business. And as you apply Jannati's framework to your own practice, we want to leave you with a thought experiment based on our earlier discussion. We talked about how to redefine the complexity of a project when a client needs a high volume of images but lacks the budget for a premium production.
Right. If adjusting the scope simply by cutting the number of deliverables isn't an option because it won't actually solve the client's underlying problem, how else can you get creative?
Yeah.
How can you alter the logistics, the licensing terms, or the production timeline to meet their financial reality without ever cheapening your own brand or lowering your base rate? Finding those creative compromises is often what separates a struggling freelancer from a booked-out professional.
It is a fascinating challenge to navigate, and mastering it will absolutely change the trajectory of your business. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Get out there, stop waiting for the massive agency production to fall into your lap, answer those casual buying signals with confidence, and start building your momentum today. We will catch you next time.